Rusty asked me to have something in the cooker or the burner ready to go when needed. And I guess it's been a couple of weeks ago the Lord gave me something. And like I said before, you know, I'm just the one who hears it first. You know, it's not like I'm telling you all what I'm going to tell you. It's things the Lord has given me for the body. And I believe it will bless all of us. Amen. First, I want to tell you about an experience I had when I was about 21. I was newly saved. And in those days, I was a little more adventurous, you know, I guess like all of us when we were younger. And I went on a checkout dive, you know, and got certified as a, recreational diver. And we went out into the Gulf, maybe an hour's ride to get clear water. We were in a steel, all-metal crew boat. And my dive buddy had diving experience. We were only supposed to go down like 33 feet, where you don't have to decompress. Well, he decided he wanted to go down to 60 feet, so I went down with him. So, and I remember looking up, and the boat looked about that big. So we were kind of swimming around. You know, like I said, it was clear water. And then about maybe 100 feet away, I saw a grouper, big grouper, and it was bigger than me. So I remember looking at it, and he was looking at me, and I don't know if he was thinking about me as a meal or not, but I didn't want to hang around down there. I realized I better go back up where I belong. So, it made me think about Jonah's experience with the great fish. Some used to say it was a whale. It was whale, but they say a great fish because whales can't swallow people, whatever. Well, anyhow, I believe Jonah, when he was thrown out of the ship, he drowned because it says he descended, and you can see the mountains and all that in the deep. And unless he had a submarine or scuba gear, he couldn't breathe underwater. So I believe he died. The fish swallowed him, and then God resurrected him after 3 days. So I got to think about Jonah and the big fish there. But tonight I want to talk about an even bigger fish, a more popular fish that's spoken about all throughout the Bible. It's called the selfish. You may have heard of it. And this fish is everywhere. And we gotta watch out because it'll creep up on you. You know, the tendency to be selfish, the tendency to hold back. But God wants us to be givers, true givers. And a true giver is somebody that gives to give. Some say, well, I heard if I give or if I sow into that ministry, then I'll get back tenfold, 100-fold. So I think I'll do that. Well, that's not giving. That's investing, right? You're investing in something. But Jesus did not come and give his life, lay his life down so he would get something back. I mean, he didn't do it for his benefit. He did it for our benefit. But, you know, and I've said this before. Some have said that, well, Jesus was lonely, you know, and the Father wanted some company. So he decided he would save man so that we could be, you know, his worshipers and his fill that need that he had. Well, God doesn't have any needs, but we have needs. So God saved us for our benefit, not for his. He was fine, I think, with the angels. He could have made more people, other people. But in his perfect way, loving way, he decided to pay a great price, come to the earth, live amongst us in this wicked world, this ungodly world, suffer, and then great suffering, and then died to redeem us to God. So he did what he did to benefit us. So that's true giving, when you give so others will benefit. If you give so that you will benefit, that's, like I said, it's investing or something else. And it's not the type of giving that God did, and it's not the type that he wants us to give. But those who want to get things from God or who give to God selfishly, wanting a return, or they give to others selfishly, wanting a return, you know, they give so they'll get something. But we should be giving to give, not giving to get. And you know, in the world, when the Lord leads and you give of yourself to somebody and to help them, often they'll kind of think, well, what's he up to? You know, what does he really want? You know, this guy's been real nice. He's been this. He must have some ulterior motive, because that's how they give. That's how the world gives. They want something in return. But the Lord says, give unselfishly, give to bless God and to serve others. But those that give selfishly, they're still on the throne of their lives. They still want people to bless them. They want people to give to them. It's really, I believe, a form of worship that's left over from the Adamic nature, where they want to be like God. They want people to serve them, give to them, bless them. But God wants us not to give or expect that or demand that from others. Now, if others bless you, that's fine. I've been blessed by many people, unbelievers and especially believers have been blessed, and I'm grateful for that. But the Lord doesn't want us to give to get. That's why this prosperity message thing, it's all about giving to get. It's not the way God wants us to give. It's a worldly way, and God has a better way for us. He wants us, as his children, to give as he has given unto us, freely, without any cost. By grace you are saved through faith. So let's read in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, reluctantly, or unwillingly, or of necessity, something you have to do, for God loves a cheerful giver. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency from God, in all things may abound to every good work. See, God supplies, and it meets our needs, and with what God supplies, we meet other people's needs. I remember when I was in college, you know, I've mentioned before, studying a difficult curriculum, and with God's help, the power of his Spirit, his grace, the abilities, he took me from an okay student to a very good student. Now, I know the difference before God was in my life and after. So it's the Lord's work. And I was able to finish most of my projects early, on time. And, you know, then it's time to, like, kick back and relax. Well, the Lord said, go help this person or that person who was struggling. Now, they allowed us to help one another with drawings and things. So I went over to this struggling student who wasn't a good student, struggled and, you know, whatnot. I said, can I help you with your drawings? And she looked at me like, you want to help me? And I said, yeah, you know, let me help you with that. And probably thought, well, what's he up to? Yeah. Well, what I'm up to is blessing you as God has blessed me. You see, God gives us his grace and abundance and power and strength and everything else and gifts, not for us to hoard them, but to bless others. Now, he meets all of our needs, but he wants us to continue to give what he's given to us and not to store it up. Now, Jesus said, freely you have received in Matthew 10, 8. So freely you have received, freely give. And if we give to be seen of men, it's really kind of like paying for a self-promotion, like an advertising agency. Let's tell everybody what I did, and then they'll think I'm a great person, or they'll maybe some opportunity will open up for me. Like you hear some of these wealthy people, they say so-and-so gave $1 million to this charity. Well, it would be better if they just gave it and they're not advertise it, you see, because now they're telling everybody how good they are or what the good deeds they did. And Jesus said, you already have your reward, or you won't be rewarded at all for that, because it's not giving. You're purchasing some advertising, all right? If we pay somebody, you know, for labor, they've earned a wage. That, of course, that's not giving, but some employers kind of think that these employees owe them something for all the money they pay them. You know, when I had my own small business, my attitude was, that's not my money, it's their money. They've worked for it, it's theirs, and now I'm giving them what's already theirs. So that's not giving, that's paying a salary to someone who's earned it, or a wage. So We need to be yielded and willing to give to those who are in need and can't pay you back. And best way is to give anonymously, because they can't pay you back. They won't know who gave to them, if you can, you know. And but the world, this concept, what I'm talking about is contrary to the way the world thinks. The world is like, no way, because we have the privilege of being God's children and meeting all of our needs so we can receive those blessings and bless others, where the world, they don't have God's provision like we do. You know, God blesses the evil and the good, but we have the ability to receive from God, and then we can bless others. Where others, all they have is what they have, and they want to store it up and save it for their own needs, where we can give and give and know that God will give back to us. When Katrina hit, I didn't have any flood insurance or homeowners insurance. I paid off the house, and I kind of figured, well, the Corps of Engineers knows how to build levees, so I was maybe trusting in them a little bit, where I should have been trusting in God for everything. So anyhow, but during that difficult time, you know, we had 9 to 10 feet of water in our first floor, and like some of you all, but God provided abundantly. He provided time. He provided, all my tools were flooded, but he provided tools. We didn't have any electricity, but he provided everything I needed to get back. The job I had shut down, but the employer continued to pay me every day regularly because I was still salaried, and he decided, who was a Christian, to continue to pay my salary. So that gave me time. I'd go to the job site, say, no, you know, no one's here, no one showed up, and then I could go home and work on the house. So they were paying me in a way, you know, to work on my own house. So I didn't have man's insurance, but God had a plan, because that was my need. And then I also had opportunities to bless others. During that time, I'm working on my house. I'm helping them with their house, helped several others with drawings and plans. I didn't have any computer, any equipment, so I just used an electronic light, battery-operated light, and worked on these plans and things. But it was his resources and abilities that he gave me where I could not just get, but have enough to give to others in need. And it's a great joy. It's a real privilege to do that. Let's read in Luke 12 through 14. Then said he unto him that bade him, when you make a dinner or a supper, call not your friends, nor your brethren, neither your kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and recompense be made unto you. You know, that they then will invite you to dinner, and payment with a pay you back for the good deed you did. But Jesus said, well, when you make a feast, call the poor, the maimed, this is the injured, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed of God. You'll be blessed by God, for they cannot recompense thee, and thou shalt be recompensed in the resurrection of the just. So, most people will invite someone, and then they figure, yeah, well, now next time they're going to invite me, you know. But it's okay to do that, but that's not real giving. When you really want to give, give to those that can't pay you back. Give to those that have a need that only you can meet, that they can't meet their need. And you'll be blessed of God. See, proper giving from the right motive, from the heart, God, of course, knows our motives. And he will bless that. He will return that unto you. But if you just have the idea, I'm going to give to get something, that's not giving, and you won't get. You won't receive gifts from the Lord because you're not giving. You're just trying to benefit yourself. But with the right heart, you give to those in need. I've mentioned before, because of Rusty's dad, Sal Tardo, we spent 7 years in prison ministry. And one man said, Paul, you should take an offering from these guys, you know, because, and I'm thinking, an offering from them? They don't have anything, and I'm, yeah, well, I'm not coming here to get something. We're coming here to give to them. It never crossed my mind to take an offering. So we shared, they received, those that believed got saved, those that believed got healed, and we saw that over the years there. You know, a lot of responses to the gospel message. But those that truly believed and repented got saved. And it was that to me was enough blessing to be used by the Lord, led by the Lord. It wasn't just me, it was about six or seven of us, and to see God work and to bless these folks the way God blessed me. I was given the gospel by a young man who witnessed to me, and it didn't cost me anything. Jesus paid the whole price. So now, I'm going to go charge people to hear the gospel? No, I'm going to give it to them as God gave it to me. So we learn true giving as we see how God gives. And man can get stingy, and some men and women are great givers as God has blessed them. But you know, in Philippians 2, it talks about how Jesus thought himself not, it wasn't robbery for him to think of himself equal to God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon the form of a servant, and came to the earth and served us and saved us. And the theologians, I think, call that the colossal stoop. But it's not really a stoop. You know, a stoop is kind of like that. It's like a leap from a mountaintop infinitely high, what Jesus did to come to the earth to serve us and save us. Stoop, a little infinitely high leap that he took from his place and position in heaven to come to the earth to save us. It was a colossal leap, not a colossal stoop. So, but I think sometimes the theologians or whoever coined that, they come up with all these things, and some of it's good, some of it's bad. But I'm not too keen on listening to what men say if it's contrary to what God has said. Now, they're saying what God said, you know, bring it on. And I've been blessed for almost 50 years by hearing anointed teachers and preachers share the gospel and teach the gospel to me. But man's teaching has not helped me much. You stand on God's word and it doesn't move. You stand on man's word and it gets kind of shaky, you know, and then you start sinking, you know. But when you stand on God's word, that rock doesn't move. So you can have, it builds faith, it builds confidence and strength in our lives. But man's word, you know, the leaven of the Pharisees, not interested in that. So let's believe what God has said, and let's do it God's way. So the salvation God has given us, he knew that we could never pay him back. But because it was given for our benefit, not for his. Yet some people are still trying to pay God back a little bit. You know, okay, now I'll be good, and then you'll bless me, you know, or I don't want to be bad, you know, I want you to bless me and give to me because I'm such a good person. Well, that's not how God gives. God sees the need, and he'll give to your need. Now, I believe the Lord loves righteousness, but like I said to others before, we live righteously not to be saved, not to get saved, but because we are saved. And we walk by faith, knowing that God, through Jesus, has given us eternal life through his sacrifice, and it cost him a great price, and now I want to walk in that. I want to be restored back to God the way he intended Jesus' sacrifice to accomplish something for me. I want to walk with him, which means I got to learn his will, I got to want to do his will, I want to serve him, and if I get off track, I look to the Lord to bring me back and establish my goings again. But some are still trying to earn it, or still trying to keep it by their good works. Well, you know, well, what if you do all these good works, you know, and you do all this and do all that? God sees it. God recognizes it. But it's not good enough to earn salvation. It's good. You might help somebody. You know, what's the scripture that whoever gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones will not lose their reward, or something to that effect? Well, that doesn't mean you're going to get saved because you give a Christian some drink of cold water. That means you'll be rewarded for giving him or her that cup of water. You'll be blessed. God will bless you. He blesses those that bless us, and he curses those that curse us, it says. So anyhow, good deeds are good, and they help people, but it's not going to earn us anything from God. God's gifts are free. So we want to give to others' needs. In Philippians 4, 15 through 19, and not to get something from them. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me is concerning giving and receiving, but you only. It's the only church that gave unto him for his needs. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once again into my necessity, and not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. You see, so when we give like Jesus gave and has taught us to give, that's good fruit that's in our lives that God has been producing. But Paul said, I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. See, they gave to Paul to meet his need. They didn't give to Paul to get something back, but they knew his need, and as God had blessed them, they blessed Paul. And in verse 19, Paul says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So God supplies unto us salvation, teaching, provision, other needs that we have, and then we can bless others. I know a Christian man that said he helped the church start. This was on the West Bank a long time ago. And with a right heart, gladly served, labored, you know, did this and all that was needed. And not expecting a reward, not wanting a reward, but just to do it unto the Lord, to bless God's people. And then later, he was a young man with a family, and he had a need, and God blessed him through a series of circumstances with a house, because he had no money, and you know, I'm talking about myself, right? So he had no money, he had nothing to buy with, and was even late paying the rent. And then God miraculously brought in like $10,000 in 2 months, and he was able to buy the house, move in the house, and God said, you've blessed me to prepare my house to get my house ready. Now I'm going to bless you and give you a house. So God sees that when we give legitimately from the heart without selfishness, and he will bless us in return that way. But we've got to give unselfishly, you know. And like I said before, we have been taught freely by God's word and by others. And then we want to teach and preach freely without expecting or demanding a reward for that. Now, it's nothing wrong with being salaried as a minister and receiving that way from the Lord. But others, we can give freely from the provision that God has given to us. In Mark 6:34, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And God still wants to teach us many things. But Jesus was moved with compassion, and that was the motive that he had to teach the people. So we want to have a right motive when we teach God's people and not do it for the bucks. I heard one guy, and I've said this before, he said he wanted to go into the ministry because it was an easy life, easy job, and he wanted to get paid a lot. Well, and even when you get paid, the ministers of God, it's not really complete compensation for what they do. Okay, it's the hours and the time and everything else. So Jesus was moved with compassion. So we have to see the need and have compassion and not greed, you know. Have compassion and minister to people the way God has ministered to us. Now, when the day was far spent, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And Jesus answered and said unto them, you give them something to eat. Give ye them to eat. And they said, what, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? And they didn't have enough to feed that multitude. But Jesus said, he said unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 loaves and 2 fish. So, verse 39, and Jesus commanded them all to sit down and company upon the green grass, and they sat down in ranks of hundreds and fifties. This was a big need, you know, that the disciples did not have provision to feed all these people, as we know. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fish, Jesus looked up to God, to heaven, and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set them before them. And the two fish divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled, and they had an overflow. Right? So God gave to them, and then they gave to the people, thousands of people, as the need was there. So we seek God, God gives to us, and then we give to those in need. That's the method that we need to use to meet the needs of people, because you can't do it by yourself. It becomes too great, too many, and all kinds of difficulties at times. But as we seek God, whether it's patience, whether it's kindness, long-suffering, humility, even provision, we seek the Lord, he will provide that. Like I said, during Katrina, he gave me resources and time and skills where I could help other people who had flooded as well. So we seek God, God gives to us, we give to them, and then everybody's blessed. And they all did eat and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments of the fish. See, God gave them an abundance more than the need. Now, with the extra, I'm sure they fed others, or perhaps they gave to the poor, but it didn't go wasted. It was given to those 12 baskets somebody else who had need. Maybe the apostles' families, I don't know. So man has a lot of needs, and to meet these needs, it can cost us a lot. It can cost us time, a lot of time. Jesus said, if somebody tells you to go a mile, go twain. Go two, wait a minute. Now, look, I'm all right with the mile. You know, I thought it was going to be, you know, a quarter mile. Now it's a mile. Now 2 miles? No, I don't think so. But Jesus said, if he compels you to go a mile, go two. If they want you to work on the house, and then they want you to fix this with no additional fee, do it anyway and give it unto the Lord. I had a guy I was working on building his house, and then he said, can you do this and this and this and this? And then he didn't want to pay for it. So I said, okay, I'll do it. And you do it unto the Lord, and then the Lord provides. See, I didn't get ripped off, because you do it as unto the Lord. I wonder if when Jesus was a carpenter, now some say he did kind of rough carpentry, you know, rough timbers, ox yokes. And I don't think he was building fine furniture in Nazareth. So, but I wonder if, say, he built a house for somebody, and they said, well, we don't like it this way. Can you change this? Can you give us another bedroom? Or can you make this a little bigger? Or we don't like this color, or whatever the situation was. Well, don't you think Jesus said, okay, Mr. and Mrs. Levi, I'll take care of that for you? Or do you think Jesus was like, what? I'm not doing that. Or like they say in New Orleans, I ain't doing that. But Jesus, I'm sure, gave to them, blessed them, because he's patient and kind and generous. All the fruit of the Spirit is describing Jesus' character, right? In fact, all the gifts of the Spirit, or the way Jesus ministered in the gifts of the Spirit, is an example for us to follow. He manifested all the gifts of the Spirit, and he had all the fivefold ministry he ministered as. And if you're in the fivefold, we should minister like he did, right? And go that second mile, do what the need requires of us. And it'll take, like I said, time, money, resources, effort. Sometimes to minister to others, it costs us a lot of pain, emotional pain, mental pain. You know, just because the person is difficult, you know, and then we start thinking, well, this is too much. I don't want to do that. This is too difficult. We whine and complain. But then you think about all that he did for us, 1,000 times more than that. The beatings on his back, the nails in his hands, the humiliation, the mockery, the death. So we should then be willing to endure some physical pain, some fatigue, some emotional pain, some mental energy as we deal with them. So not just always thinking about us, you know, not always manifesting the selfish, you know, I want, you should, but instead they need, God provide and I will bless. Okay, and in Matthew 10, verse 7 and 8, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils when it's convenient for you. No, when the need is there, right? Sometimes they said Jesus ministered all the night long to the needs of people. So, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. You know, and because that's what Jesus did for us. So, we want to freely give as we have freely received. Okay, in Matthew 5, 39 to 48, but I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. No, I'm not doing that. No way. You know, but didn't Jesus do that? Didn't he do that when the soldiers were beating him, slapping him around? So God gives us the grace. I will say that, you know, as a younger Christian, as a new Christian, some of these things were just seemed so wild and overwhelming. But as I've gotten older in the Lord, it comes easier. It seems more, okay, all right, no problem. Where before it would really bother me, you know, because the world doesn't think that way. The world is like, no, you got to pay for that. You don't get nothing for free, they'll say. Well, with Jesus, we got everything free. He paid the price. It cost him a great price, and we get the benefit. So that should be our mindset and our heart's desire to bless others as he has blessed us. And in verse 40, and if a man will sue thee at the law, take away your coat, let him have your cloak also. I don't know about that one. But Jesus did that, similar to that, and we should do the same. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with them twain, as we said. Give to him that asks of thee, and from him that would borrow thee, turn not thou away. Jesus gave when he saw the need and he ministered to the need. In verse 43, you have heard that it has been said that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Why? That you might demonstrate that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, because he does the same things, right? Because he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain to the just and the unjust. See, God does that. He doesn't, the evil people, he doesn't say, no rain for you, no sun for you, you suffer. But over here, my people, I'm going to just bless them. No, he blesses the evil and the good, or the good and the evil people. And God wants us to bless the unbelievers when we have opportunity to minister to them. And one of the things, I had a guy chew me out at work about 4 years ago for something I didn't do. I didn't do anything wrong, really. But he got it misunderstood. He decided to chew me out. And I can say by God's grace, I just stood there and didn't say a word and just let him go on, and was able, with by God's grace, to turn the cheek. And he got so upset, he walked out of his own office huffing and puffing, and I just gave it to the Lord. And then every time after that I would see him, he you could see he was convicted. He felt bad, because what was I doing? I forgave him freely. You know, I didn't do the passive-aggressive thing. I didn't, you know, hide from him. I didn't retaliate. And I think I could have whooped him, you know, I really do, but I'm not going to do that. I found out he had a heart condition, so he dies and then I go to jail. No, I don't think so. I'm going to do it God's way. So I just left it alone. God has freely forgiven me. God doesn't hold anything back. So from my heart, I found with his grace I could forgive this guy, no issues. I'd see him, I'd wave to him, how you doing, good to see you. See, because the, if you will, the sin against me, or the evil behavior toward me, was gone. It's like it never happened. Because when you freely give, you freely can give. We need to freely give forgiveness. Forgiveness is something God has given us, and we need to forgive others freely. And I think people that struggle with forgiveness, it's because they don't realize all that God gave to them. They're kind of like, well, I don't know. You know what they did to me? It was really bad. Probably so. Nobody's saying forgive them when it's just easy. But it's really bad when they hurt me a lot. Acknowledged. God knows it. But you've hurt God a lot. You know, we can hurt God, you know that? That we can grieve the Holy Spirit. We also can make God rejoice. We can make God glad. We can bless Him. God has feelings and emotions. They're not like ours, but He still, you know, He wept over Jerusalem. And so God wants us to forgive those in the same way He forgave us, freely, with no charge, no retaliation. And as you do that, more and more and more and more, it's much, much easier. But if we focus on what He's done for us and not on what they did to us, right? And then you can walk in that liberty. So we forgive those. We must give forgiveness to those who cannot be forgiven by themselves. They've committed a sin. And Jesus said, woe unto them, you know, that trouble you. It's a righteous thing for God to recompense tribulation upon them that trouble you. God will deal with them. God will handle it in His way. And I pray that He would show mercy and grace to them like He did for me. But if He decides to execute judgment in His wisdom, that's His business, not me. I'm not the judge. I'm the recipient of God's grace, of God's forgiveness, and that's what I want to bestow. I don't go down to Tulane and Broad and say, you guys up there, move over. I'm going to be the judge. You know, I'm going to judge this crime, this crime that's been committed. I'm not the judge. God is the judge in every situation, and He will judge. He will deal people, and we don't have to worry about retaliating. You know, a lot of people like these revenge movies, right, where somebody's hurt or their family's hurt, and then this guy is an ex-military or whatever, and he goes after them and kills them all and all that. And people kind of have like a yeah, because they feel some of that, you know, like, yeah, that's right, that's what I want, not they deserve that. Well, we don't want to go and kill them all. We want to go and forgive them all, right, just like Jesus did. So, and when we do this, when we show this willingness to freely give forgiveness, we are demonstrating our faith. It's, you know, we talked about faith with corresponding actions. We're demonstrating that we believe we've been forgiven and pardoned and are new creations in Christ. And part of that is showing forgiveness for others. Because if you're not saved, you're not going to do that. But if you really receive from the Lord and you understand that, well, then you will give freely to the need of people. And forgiveness is some of that which we need to forgive. Give to people freely without charging them anything, because God didn't charge us for it. And in John 20, 23, which I think is kind of a controversial verse, whosoever sins you remit, you forgive, they are remitted, they are forgiven unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, you don't forgive, then they are retained, they're not forgiven. Now, one denomination says, you know, that's the priests can do this, and you have now the authority to forgive and all that. No, he's talking about sins against you. He's not talking about you going around forgiving everybody like that. But those that sin against you, forgive them, right? And if you don't, they're not forgiven. Now, when Jesus was dying on the cross, what did He say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And many times, if not most times, we forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. They're walking in darkness. And as God has forgiven us, we forgive them. Now, what about this and what about that? And they're going to get away with it. Let God handle all of that. We don't need to get all wrapped up in that. Let Him handle it. But for me, I'm going to forgive those and not hold it against them anymore. And like I said, Jesus did the same thing. So when we truly give from the heart, service, ministry, finances, time, peace to others, love, patience, kindness, then we will receive an abundance of those things from God for us and others. And in Luke 6, last page, Luke 6:38, Jesus said, Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. So when we give from a free heart, freely from the heart, not asking for anything in return, but just giving to give, by the way, that's the title of the message, Giving to Give. And when we do that, then you will, God will give unto you in those things as well. But when you give to get, then you're not going to get from God because you're not really giving. You're investing or doing it for promotional reasons, like I said before. But when we do it from an honest and good heart, with the desire to bless others as God has blessed us, then it will be measured back to us again. The most sinful behavior in people comes from a selfish heart. I want, you should, no fair, give me that, I'm going to steal that, I'm going to take your car, I'm going to take your house, I'm going to take what God's given you, or what you have, your possessions, because they're selfish, and they don't know that God provides. We should never be covetous, because God said he would meet every need that we have. And if we look to him, he'll meet every need and give us enough for ourselves and for others. And righteous behavior, unlike sinful behavior, stems from a heart blessed by God and freely gives to others as they have freely received from God. Last scripture, Acts 20:35. I, Paul, have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Most people say, you got that backwards. Give it to me. Give me what I want. Give me some of that. No, give as unto the Lord. You'd be more blessed in giving than receiving. Amen. So we want to give to give, and watch out for that big fish, the selfish, because he'll get after you and cause you to operate in a selfish way, and that doesn't please the Lord, and that's not how Christians should live and act. Amen. Amen. So let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for all you have provided abundantly through Jesus, your Son. You gave your precious Son to take our place, to bring us back to you, back to right standing with you. And you said you would meet every need abundantly, and you have. And you give us enough to lend and not to have to borrow. So we receive all that you have provided and you want to provide, and we look to you to meet our needs. And we desire enough, not just for us, but for those others that we come into contact with, that your will would be done, and we would demonstrate that we are the children of God and redeemed by the love of God, by Jesus, our Savior. In his name, amen. 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 Am